How about me? Do I look like a champion if I'm maybe sitting like right here? No, not. I mean, I don't look like a champion.
Do you know what your head looks like right now?
Terrible.
Yes.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
And welcome to the Leica Studios Podcast, Free Roar Game Review, Episode 67, Wind and Water, The Puzzle Battles. This game's good.
Yeah.
Good night.
Okay. Good recording, everybody.
Okay, do you like... What's a good game? You like, So when they say the puzzle battles, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about some Tetris Attack. Let's talk about some Puzzle Fighter. Let's talk about...
Puzzle Fighter. Let's play some Puzzle Fighter.
Yes.
Let's play some
First we
water.
Have to podcast.
Okay.
Then we will puzzle... Like, I really feel like I want to make one of those games. I mean, in a sense, I did. I worked on one.
Yeah, you did.
We actually just put an update for VS Nitro's out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now when you go to the web player, it doesn't say exit to Windows, because that doesn't work in a browser.
Rad!
We also fixed a video glitch at the front, and aside from that, it's pretty much the same game, but it's still fun, because every once in a while, I just go in to play it, and that's a good sign.
Yeah. You're one of those guys who's made the game that they want to play.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah. Tarn, you'll get there eventually. Maybe.
But it's sort of a
It's unique.
If you are familiar with any of the, you know, Puyo Pop, Puzzle Fighter, any sort of like gem dropping color matching game.
Well, these aren't dropping. You have a static field that you slide around. New pieces don't drop down from above or anything.
Yeah, they do. When you clear out pieces, leave the void. New pieces drop in.
Well, yeah. But it's more akin to, like Tetris
Hexic.
Attack.
Yeah, I guess it's like, you are not controlling the pieces directly. But that's, you know, still kind of in that realm of games.
Yeah.
Because it's like Hexic, or it's like, Bejeweled, in a sense, except...
Sonic Shuffle.
Sonic Shuffle is like Mario Party.
What was the puzzle game? What was the one on the Dreamcast with the spirals?
Sega Swirl.
It's like Sega Swirl.
Sega Swirl is like Frozen Bubble, which is like... We never talked about Frozen
Sega
Bubble.
Sega Swirl is like Frozen Bubble?
Frozen Bubble is a different... I'm talking about a different Frozen Bubble. It's Frozen Bubble was... Or maybe it's Bubble Breaker. If you go to Linux, all of the games are exactly like Sega Swirl and Frozen Bubble.
Okay, yes. Who made Wind and Water Puzzle Battles, Nick?
Two guys from Puerto Rico or Costa Rica.
I thought they were like Korean.
They're Korean in origin, but that is not where they were... Their parents were... Definitely Korean.
Okay, whatever.
Basically, they had a dream. They wanted to make the kind of games that they like to play. And so they made Wind and Water Puzzle Battles.
Which is an inscrutable competitive puzzle game.
Yeah. Like I was saying, like, they were like, we like Puzzle Fighter. We like all of the puzzle color matching games that are Versus. So they made their own. Here's what's different about it. It's weird.
Okay, so... The way you interact with, you have, like, just a wall of colored tiles, right? You're not dropping new ones in. But what you do have is a cursor, which encompasses four of them in a diamond shape, and you can roll, swirl them clockwise.
Or counterclockwise.
Or counterclockwise. You can swirl them.
Whichever way you swirl.
And then you have to match four or more to make them disappear.
Yeah, like...
Diamond shape.
You need to make diamond shapes out of them. Once you match the diamond shape, any... same color that are connected to them will also go away in that one. And then...
So you need to make one diamond and then just link it to however many of the same color.
Except it also works in the sense of combos, so that when those disappear after being matched...
If you enter combo time.
If another match falls down, then that will also combo. Or that will chain.
Yes.
That's apparently the...
There's a difference between chaining and combo time.
Combo is when you make more than the required amount in a single match.
Okay.
And a chain is when matches cascade.
Okay.
And the game will actually...
There are five colors?
No, there's six colors. There's four normal ones.
And then there's...
Because there's, like, earth, which is orange. Fire, which is red. Water, which is blue. Metal, which is silver. And air, which is green.
Okay, so there's five of those. Five colors. And then void.
And gold.
I thought...
Or no, gold is wind.
Yeah.
Because wind and water. Yeah, so that's the other weird bit. Is if you make... When you make enough matches, it will drop a wind tile into the field. And this is where things really start getting inscrutable.
Because then you can match the wind tile as the top of a diamond of water tiles to create a wind and water combo.
Which will clear all of the water on the field. But if you don't use that, and you continue building your bar, then it'll drop a void tile in. It works the same way, except you can match it, instead of just being with water, you can match it with whatever you want. Or,
if you're an incredible baller, you can go for this game's version of the tech bonus?
Not even that, just the all clear. You surround the void with one of each color, including the wind tile, and that will clear the entire board at once. Or...
Now, because of the way that your cursor is set up, there is one tile on the lower left-hand side that you cannot manipulate.
Yeah.
And if you can drop the void tile in there...
It gives you, like, a tech bonus, and it just clears that tile.
It just clears that tile alone, and then your opponent looks at you and is just like, wow, you just did that. What a dick.
It might do something with the press, but the press, I have no idea how it works. Like, okay, so you know how normally, like in Tetris Attack, garbage blocks will fall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this version of the garbage block is there is a press at the bottom of the screen, which pushes up and removes viable playfield. If it ever reaches the top of the screen, you have no points, you lose. You game over. That is how you lose.
But you can press the press back by matching all of one color within the press area.
Right, because there's also a bonus
if you clear all of one color from the board.
In a single match.
And if you can do that, you can turn the press back. And it becomes easier because, you know, you become working with less and less space.
Except I think
until it gets to the point where it's like you don't have enough space to move around.
Except...
Because your cursor is still really big.
You can also do it with combo time. Because, like when you make a combo of more than four, so of at least five of a color, you enter into combo time.
Which is a special state, which, actually there's three different modes of.
We'll get to that in a second. In general, when you're in combo time, the press freezes, and any combos that you do will be added to your combo gauge, which will increase your points, and if you do, and will also push the press back further the better you do. But that is, like, only temporary, because then after a while it pushes back up.
Yeah.
Or something.
I don't know.
But yeah, and then they have, like, very much like, makes me think of, like, Street Fighter Alpha, where you can pick, like, you know, Alpha
regular
mode, Beta
or Turbo.
Mode. It's like this. I think there is a normal and fast mode. There is no normal and fast mode.
Okay.
Because there's beginner, medium,
and expert. Yes. And each player can choose this for themselves, and it changes the way that combo time behaves.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, it changes the way void blocks behave.
It also changes the way combo time behaves.
No, that is a separate choice.
What?
Yes. Because, okay, so when you're on medium or, like...
Are you sure?
No, okay, so there's, like, a normal and a hard, and that changes the way it works. Because I think on normal, you only get wind blocks, but they come more often. Whereas on expert mode, wind and void blocks will both appear, but they are harder to get.
Okay, if you say so.
And then there is, like, beginner combo time, normal combo time, and expert chain time.
So, beginner combo time is when you create a combo, you just get a flat amount of time.
It's always 20 seconds.
Yeah, and then advanced combo time is you get a smaller amount, but you can continue it by continuing to make combos.
Yes, and it's based on how big the combo is. So, like, a combo of four will maybe only give you, like, 3 seconds of combo time. A combo of everything will give you, like, 7 seconds of combo
time. So if you're good, you can get much more combo time than the basic one can, but the basic one is guaranteed to at least get 20.
Yeah.
Or to get 20, is what it
is. And then I think advanced probably also gets...
Advanced works on chains rather than combos to create chain time.
Well, that's where, like the normal drop and the super break drop come in. Because, like, there's shoulder buttons in this game. And when you're in chain time, when you make a combo...
Oh, it hangs, right?
It hangs in the air, and it gives you a chance to rearrange the blocks so that when it falls, you can set up a chain to happen. But it gives you like an amount of hang time, depending on how big your combo was. And then you have the option to either break, like drop the tiles right now, which will save the remaining, because when the hang time is up, it drops the blocks.
Yes.
So you can like drop them now and save the remaining time. Or you can like super drop, which will, I forget if that's just like, well, I can't do anything else with this, let me just stop this whole tomfoolery now and I'll set up something elsewhere. Or it like saves it for later on, or you get some sort of tech bonus for the remaining time when you drop out of that mode.
I don't know.
I forget. The game's hard. And we just talked about the mechanical stuff so far.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the single-player campaign.
Okay, before we move on to that, because I think... But summary on the mechanical stuff.
This game is inscrutable.
If you like versus puzzle games...
This is a complex one for you to chew on.
This is a very complex one. And it does do a good job of, like, there's a lot of tutorials, and if you play on, like, the easier modes, then you can just ride it out for a while, and it's still pretty fun. And one of the, like, before you even have to get into the inscrutable stuff, the hardest thing to get over is, like, the rotating four tiles.
Yeah.
But if you've played Bejeweled Twist, that is a primer.
Like, Jill had a lot of trouble just understanding that the most basic part of it. Because like, it's pretty unlike...
Because it's match four, but it's match... four in this specific shape.
Yeah.
Really, if you've played Hexic, that is like the best primer.
And you keep saying Hexic, and I think of Hexen, which is very different. Get the ethereal crossbow.
Oh, man. That game was alright. I think I played that...
I think I played Heretic, not Hexen.
Heretic is beyond Hexen.
Oh. Or Hexen, played whichever one Heretic had the green crossbow that fired like three bolts.
I have those somewhere. We could set that up into a land knight one day.
Which one had like the chicken staff?
I feel like that was Heretic.
Okay, that's the one I played.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can get past this weird how you line it up to make matches, then you will understand it, you will be able to play it for a while. And then with time, you will learn and to like level up and be inscrutable and stuff. And it introduces it to you well through the single-player campaign.
Yeah.
Which is...
It has a single-player campaign where you wander around like a world map, not unlike Super Mario... And you go from puzzle to puzzle, like, completing specific requirements, like, set up a combo of at least 12 earth pieces, or, like, just match 200 pieces, and then you're done.
Yeah, like, they're all, like, specific, they're all pretty mission-based. Oh, but then, like, because, like, not only is it, like, just a world of different puzzles, but it also has a story. So, like, each world that you get to, a little, you know, portrait bumper cars cutscene plays out. About,
yeah, it's got talking portraits and beautiful pixel art, by the way.
It's two guys. One guy did all the coding, one guy did all the art. And it looks amazing. Like, I'm kind of envious of this guy. And, like, it's a pretty... And the story is, like, the game starts and you play as a tutorial character who's going around and you run into the two creators of the game being like, hey, how you doing? It's going to be great when we release this game. And she's like, but we already have players coming in. And they're just like, what? Here, do this puzzle. I'll be right back, not working on the rest of the game. And then it's cool, because it's like you follow them around, and like she starts to glitch out, and you have to find the coder to be like, why are we glitching? And he's like, I don't know, find the artist. And he's like, no, you're glitching. Hmm. And like you start collecting all of the characters who go into versus mode, and then you have a picnic, and then... You get to the end of the first chapter, and it's like, and then the player beat the game! Hooray! Save black and white splash screen at the end! And then you just come back on and like, is that it? Are you serious? Well, maybe? No, there's more to the game. And then she just knocks him out, and then you go on to, like, a bunch more islands.
Rad.
Like, it's really clever and funny, and it's a lot more than I was expecting going into it. Like... And, like, even when it has sort of that false end, you're like, oh, you're like, I expected that to be the actual end. And they were like, no, we're solamente gags. We're going to have more game. Here you go. Because it's like, and usually the mission for each stage isn't tied to it, except when you fight a character to bring them into the roster.
Mm-hmm. Aren't there also, like, secret conditional missions for some of them to get, like, bonus stars?
Like
I think I got, like, the first two.
Like some of them is, like, you know, if the mission is, like, you know, get 200 clears, then the secret mission will be, like, get 200 clears with 150 of them being this color. And, like, you don't know what it is. You just have to guess and do stuff.
It is literally a secret to everyone.
Sometimes it'll give you a hint. But generally, it's just... And that will open secret paths to secret missions. Instead of not just give you a star.
Yeah.
And then they put in all the minigames?
I didn't get to any minigames.
Okay, so, like, this isn't the first game that they've made.
Yeah.
Clearly. So, as you go along... And, like, because, like, some of the characters are pulled from their other games. And sometimes, like... You'll, like, follow them around in the world, and you'll go to one of their minigames. Like, one of them is this kind of like Outrun from the Genesis days, and it's just a little car racing game with three difficulties that get progressively harder as you find this minigame more often. There's one that is a faux roguelike.
Serious?
Yeah. Well, okay, I say faux because you're running around on, like a 2D plane, and there's treasure boxes and monsters and stuff, but the trick is that, like, every time you see one, it just pops up a menu with four options. So, like, if you go to a chest, it will be like open, mopin, dopin, and ropin. And you have to pick open or you get hurt.
Hmm.
And when you go to a monster, it's like right, sight, fight, light. And you got to pick fight. And then you just go through a whole bunch of those. So the puzzle game is deep enough. But they went through, they did all the little touches.
Hmm.
And pretty quickly you open up, like, the store, where the one programmer guy, or the programmer guy, is wearing a disguise, and he always had to run back to the store to play the part of the shopkeeper. And, like, the little tag where it says which character is speaking has his name crossed out and, like, Mr. How the Shopkeeper written in on the side.
Yeah.
And it's... But then you go, you open up... I think for the most part you open up, what is it called? Like, background stuff? So concept art and hints about the world and little... Mm-hmm. Kind of like little anecdotes. Like, when we were making this game, we brought a mechanic-only version to this tournament. And we played it. And, like, there was one guy who was better than us. And he got, like, a 30-chain combo going. And we were just like, oh, my God. And that was fun.
God, I need to play more of this game.
It's so good. Like, I didn't even beat it. And it's so good.
There are two other little bits of ridiculousness, though. The game was developed and released on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
You could, like, ask them to send you a Dreamcast disc.
Well, it's, like, $15 for the Dreamcast copy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also $15, and they will make you...
Like a character portrait.
Yeah, a character portrait to use in the Versus mode.
Yeah. Does it have... It has online, right? Or does it not?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Well, because... What is it? They made the Dreamcast version, but I think they actually made it for, like... It was some weird handheld, like...
Yeah.
Not like the WonderSwan, but it was trying to be, like, a fake-ass PSP. We're going to pause here. I'm going to look it up so we can just cut it in.
Okay.
Wind & Water was a winner of the official GP2X Game & Software Contest. And a demo of this game was included with every new console that they sold. So, yeah, it's the Korean handheld, the GP2X.
Oh, cool.
It looks like a white fake-ass PSP. Kind of cute.
It kind of looks like the
WonderSwan.
No, it's the Nintendo thing, the new Nintendo thing, the Wii U. It kind of looks like the Wii U.
It does look a bit like a Wii U.
It actually looks pretty sweet.
The website claims that the story mode takes over 30 hours to complete.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, Wind & Water puzzle battles. It's really good.
But yeah, this is a game I would buy for the DC. Because it's really done. Apparently the DC version has been improved because it had, like, official release.
Yeah.
And well, another reason to dig out my Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Just picked up Fighting Force.
Your Dreamcasts.
Dreamcasts, yes.
Jerk.
Moltar and Zorak. And what's the other game that the guys from Team Senile Beats of Rage worked on it? They made, like, a top-down rally racing game for the Dreamcast.
Oh.
I'd get that too.
Okay. Like that one they used to have at the bowling alley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iron Man Stevenson's Off-Road Racing.
Really?
That's not the one that they had.
Okay.
But that's the one that I had on the PC, and I was great at it. Off-Road Pro AM.
Okay.
Yeah. Versus matches are intense.
Yeah.
Story mode is long, well-written, well-conceived.
The art and the music is all beautiful.
Yeah. And, like, I like it because it is a testament to just passion for games.
Yeah.
It's two brothers, and they were like, we want to make awesome game. of the kind of games that we like, and then they did it. And it was awesome. So...
And, like, just the mechanics of this game are, like, just so complex and inscrutable. Yeah. Like, it's just, like, this weird, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like...
Dense? It has a lexicon to it, in a sense. Like, that's the thing. Sometimes when I talk about this game, I feel like I have to speak as though I were speaking about, like, the way that, you know, people at Evo might speak.
Well, it's just like, these guys were just like, what do we like? Competitive puzzle games. What are we going to do? Boil them down and concentrate them and make this.
Well, like, it's not even concentrated. Like, they took ideas from sort of fighting games and they made a system which is not altogether different, but has intricacies to it. Like in most the Dead Zone, when we were making, you know, VS Nitros, we considered that, and that's why you can rotate the manipulator four directions to avoid stuff like that. Like, sometimes that's a bad thing, but they were just like, no, we're going to leave it in and we're going to make a tech bonus out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes I don't know how I feel about that, but
I like it.
Yeah. Like they incorporated it into the game. So even if it's sort of a weird thing, it's a part of the game and it's not something that drags it down, because they accept it, roll with it.
I think that tile has been annexed by Star Road. There, I've said it.
No, because it's right there.
Yeah, but you can't even interact with it.
Yeah, there is that. Maybe that when you drop a void tile into it, that's where it goes.
Oh, okay.
So you gotta link up certain situations. You gotta, you know, take one step forward, one step backwards, turn around three times, and then do a swan dive, and then you get to play as naked Lara Croft. That's actually what the cheat code was in Tomb Raider.
Step
forward, step back, spin around three times. If you jump backwards, it gives you full health and ammo. If you jump forwards, it takes you to the next level.
Huh.
Why do I remember that? Why is that memorized?
I thought that was just like some bullshit, like in, Final Fantasy VII, when you collect all the whatever the useless collectible things in the game. Eris comes back.
164 soldier statues?
I don't know.
You can't.
Or like in FF3, 6, when it's like, yeah, if you have like your inventory full of 99 Phoenix Downs and you circle around the tower 99 times in your airship, the general comes back and you get him in your party.
Well, that's the thing, because you never could do nude Lara Croft, but you could do... It was some bullshit like that to actually do cheat codes.
Yeah.
Wind and Water. It's free. It's super, super awesome, especially if you like competitive puzzle games.
And even though it's free, like, I don't know, I feel like these guys should be rewarded for this game.
Yeah,
it's a really good game.
I just want to give them some of my money.
Like, I think I kind of want to get a portrait done, except, like, I'm broke all the time.
Yeah.
I should play this game more.
Yeah, like... But, you know, for the PC, straight up, it's free. It will continue to be free to the foreseeable future. I will put a link to the website in the show notes. The show notes can be found at alikustudios.net/podcast with the now, like, fully featured multi-page podcast listing system.
Good job! And you can send us emails at podcast@alikustudios.net and find us at Twitter/OSPC.
No!
No? Is it Aliku?
It's @Aliku.
Oh.
Like us on Facebook.
Find us in the iTunes store.
Find us on the Zune Marketplace.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently that is like the easiest one. It's just like, hey, you know about a podcast that we don't? And I was like, yeah, it said this RSS feed. And it's like, okay. Like it didn't even say okay. It just went away and then I searched and it was there.
Oh.
So
cool.
Zune Marketplace, surprisingly on the ball when it comes to adding podcasts. Also Podcast Alley, but I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Oh.
But I only checked it out because the latest Linux, maybe it wasn't even the latest, but there was a Linux journal sitting on the table that was like how to, you know, host a podcast on Linux, and I was like, okay, whatever, I already do that. And it was like, don't forget to put it to like iTunes, Zune, and Podcast Alley. And I was like, what Podcast Alley? And now like all the most recent posts on their forum are by porn bots.
Oh no.
So
poor guys.
Sad state of affairs.
RIP Podcast Alley. I never knew you.
Also, it seemed kind of dumb.
I never...
Yeah.
Not even metaphorically. Like, I just learned about you right now.
I think we're on Podcast Pickle.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I used to listen to something that was on Podcast Pickle, I think.
If you want to do us a huge favor, just let people know about us.
Yeah.
Like, retweet whenever a new episode goes up. Just retweet that. That'd be super cool. We'd love you about that.
You can use our hashtag, OSPC.
Yep. There's...
Oh, I did it right.
Which is funny, because the OSPC Tumblr is old school police cars.
Yeah.
Oh,
look out for my new Tumblr project, Just Boner Things.
Gonna be... I can't even think of it.
I did actually go and register that page. I have it now.
Oh, okay, good. You, good luck with that.
Thank you.
If you like us, if you like VS Nitros on Facebook, we are one like away from having a custom URL. And also, let's see here. This Wednesday, by the time this podcast goes up, we are going to try and do a Super Mario Brothers live stream.
Of us tackling Superstar Road and such.
And we're gearing up right now, so we should be able to get in and be pros at this game.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to find that at livestream.com/OSGaming. While you're there, livestream.com/OSDrawcast is a channel where sometimes I will log on and draw like a page of Not Aloof or some Pokemon adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not drawing stuff, it plays videos of when I did draw stuff. So you can just go out and check it out right now. Watch how I make stuff and listen to me rant, because I always seem to draw and record at about 2 a.m. right before I go to bed, because I'm like, oh, I gotta do this before I go to bed. Let me draw a cookie man with a butcher knife. And just I watched, like, when I was awake, I said like 3 or 4 times in a 5-minute video, I started saying a sentence, went to clarify something on that sentence, ended it there, and like after a minute of silence clarified my clarification sentence.
Okay.
So that is all the exciting stuff that we're pumping out here at the studios.
We'll likely be announcing the stream on Twitter beforehand, so feel free to follow any of our personal accounts. You can probably find them through Aliku.
Yeah, Aliku has one of the lists is The Cast, which has us and Jill and Brian. And
yeah.
But we don't hear from Brian too much anymore.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's been playing games lately.
I buried him.
Oh. Is he playing games in the pit?
Good night, everybody.
Button.
Stop it!
No, it says order now.